We have in these days been looking at God's divine interruptions in our lives. Times when God has butted in, so to speak, stuck his nose in our business. I'm glad for it myself. And it's surrounded around that little phrase, but God. We have looked at an interruption of his faithfulness. We have looked at an interruption of his love. Last evening we looked in Ephesians at an interruption of his mercy. Paul said, but God, who is rich in mercy, well, bless the day that he interrupted and withheld from me what I really deserved. You'd almost think there's a God in heaven, and he's here tonight, and he wrote the Bible. This dear brother was talking about choice tonight. I want to preach tonight on being interrupted by his choice. Being interrupted by his choice. I am so glad tonight that God took all of my choices away. I'm glad that God did not depend upon me choosing him. Had he had done that, I would have been for hell for sure. See how this thing of his choice operates tonight. You've got the Bible there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. Paul said, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Here's our little study here. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. It is understood again in this phrase, this is the second time, the but is not mentioned, but the but is emphasized from the first one. He says, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Three times he said that God interrupted into man's life, overruled man's choice, didn't take into consideration your choice at all, but made sure that his choice come out like he wanted it to. You say, I don't like that. Take it up with God. He's the one that said that. He said, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You may be seated tonight. God's divine interruption. Interrupted by God's choice. I thought it was interesting. You reckon it's an accident that God would mention this choice three times? But God hath chosen. He mentions it twice in verse 27. He mentions it once in verse 28. Three times this choice is mentioned. Of course, you realize why he mentions it three times, because there's three of them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They've all made a choice, and it is in one choice. You know, a lot of times we have a hard time understanding the Trinity. And I think it is because we set them up and try to get them to add up. You know, it's extremely hard to get them to add up. We got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost up here. If we say 1 + 1 + 1 equals what? Somebody tell me. But you know, there's one itty bitty little problem. God don't add. God multiplies. Let's put the three of them back up here again. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. 1 × 1 × 1 equals what? Glory to God. I love to hang on out of that, don't you? Three choices in one tonight. But God, not you. You're not interested in your choice. I'm not interested in you choosing Jesus. If some of you in here tonight chose Jesus, you're still on your way to hell. We're not interested in your choice. Oh, no. It's God's choice. See, this thing's all over, and the dust settles, and we appear in heaven somewhere. He'll never ask you if you accepted Him. Oh, no. The whole question will be, has He ever accepted you? There'll never be any question. We'll never stand around and see if you chose Him or not. The question will be, but God hath chosen you. I notice in this text tonight, the binding of our choice. The binding of our choice. I notice in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 that we are bound by our nature. I don't care if you're a human or an animal tonight. You make all your choices based upon your nature. You take a hog tonight. If I was to bring 2 hogs tonight, let them loose at each door. I put a pink ribbon up here, and I put a mud hole up here. You can let them go from them back door 100 times out of 100. They going for the mud hole. You ain't seeing neither one of them sniffing around no pink ribbon. How come? They make their choices based upon their nature. You know what their nature is, don't you? They got a hoggy nature. You and I tonight are bound by our choice. We make our choices based upon our nature. Notice what Paul said about your nature tonight, about my nature. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. But the natural man, that is the man in his lost condition, that is the man that comes out of his mother's womb, but the natural man receiveth not. That little word receiveth means to accept or take as one's own. He said he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Paul said when you come out of your mom, if God would have left you alone, never come around you, never dealt with you, it was impossible for you to ever receive God. He said, matter of fact, he said, I could have changed the illustration and put God there in the mud hole and turned you loose 100 times out of 100. And you'd have chose the mud hole over God every single time. You had no ability to do anything else. Receive not, we are controlled by our nature. We're bound by our nature tonight. But I notice in this text tonight, not only are we bound by our nature, but we are bound by naught. Aren't you glad tonight God didn't leave you to your choice? Aren't you glad tonight God did not wait upon you to pick Him? Let's say tonight, we've got an old lost sinner up here tonight. And we're going to put a choice in front of him between God and the devil.
We're going to put a choice in front of them between heaven and hell. We're going to put a choice in front of them between life and death. And we're going to step off over here to the side along with God. And we're going to leave him alone to make his choice. Now, dear friend, you want to remember what condition this son is in. You heard last night that he's dead. He's deaf and dumb. He can't see. He can't hear. He can't speak. Jesus said in John chapter 3 that he cannot come. He cannot cease from sin. You know, you're awful mean to put that in front of him and ask him to make a choice that he's in that kind of shape. You know, I think instead of talking to him so much about him, I think I'd just start talking to him about him. Can you do something with him? Because he ain't no way he'll ever do anything about you. It's bound by his nature. I'm telling you something, honey. If you got saved, you can mark it down. It won't cause anything you did. Now, what in the world can a dead, deaf and dumb person? Can't see, can't speak. Has no ability to come, has no hope. You can give him all the choices you want. You can sing Amazing Grace to your glory in the face. You can bring him over here to Liberty Baptist, and he can get as high as a kite around here. But if God don't touch him, he ain't coming. Can't come. Impossible. The binding of our choice. I don't know if that's you tonight. I want to testify publicly tonight. I want to thank God publicly tonight that he did not leave me to my choice. I'm glad God did not wait on me to choose him because I'd have never chosen. Matter of fact, I'm going to be right honest with you. In all of my choices, I have such a hard time knowing where my natural man ends, my spiritual man begins. I really don't want to make no choices. I just want to leave all the choices to God. I done been down enough dead-end streets and say, oh, Grace, I wish I'd never made that choice. I just want to wait, let God make everything one laner. I want him to take all my choices. I was in a service not long ago, and they were praying for some fellow they've been praying for a long time, and in the church he's lost, and one of his kids were real burdened, and the pastor called on some old saint of God. Said, would you pray for him one more time? I tell you what, if I live to be 100, God keep my mind. So I don't believe I'll forget ever what that old man prayed. He said, oh God! He said, take all his choices away and give him nothing but your choice. Amen. Well, I tell you what tonight, if he don't take all your choices away tonight and give you nothing but his choice, you'll never come tonight. I want to publicly thank God tonight. But one day back in 1968, he took all my choices away and gave me nothing but his choice. I say glory, 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 glory. It's all about him. But not only do I see in this text the binding of my choice, but I see in our text, if you've got it there in front of you, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26, I see the basis of his choice. The basis of his choice. I notice that it is based upon a divine call. A divine call. Verse number 26, Paul said, for ye see your calling. Watch that little word calling there. That little noun there always refers in the New Testament to a call of destiny and not vocation. It always is applied to a call of a destiny and not a vocation. There's a lot of you in here tonight. A lot of you young people are concerned about your vocation. I tell you what, you better get more concerned about your destiny than your vocation. Or you're going to run right on by heaven and go to hell. You listening to me tonight? It's calling tonight. It always applies to one's destiny. It never applies to one's vocation. I notice in the Bible that there are two calls. There's a general call of the gospel. Your preacher gives it probably every service. He invites sinners to come. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, let him come to the water and take it freely. Oh, anybody, whosoever will, let him come. But I'm telling you tonight, God don't give no general calls of the gospel. God don't give nothing but an effectual call. If God ever calls you to salvation, honey, you can mark it down. You coming one way or the other. I'm telling you something. If you feel in your heart that God has released heaven's hounds on you and they're yapping at your feet and telling you to get right with God, honey, you better go and wave that white flag because he ain't going to give up on you. It's an effectual call tonight. God does not give a general call. It is a divine effectual call. Come forth. It is a call of resurrection. But God hath chosen. It is his choice. Of course, I'll not argue with you about it being resistible. I know some people say it's resistible. Some people say it's irresistible. I won't argue with you. I just know the morning I got saved, he made it real clear I was going to hell if I didn't get saved. I don't know how much clearer you can make that. Because I've heard a lot of people say God won't make you do nothing you don't want to do. I've often wanted to interview Jonah and ask him if he believed that. You know, Jonah, he decided, matter of fact, he made the choice. He said, I'm getting on a boat, and I'm getting as far away from God as I can get. Get on a boat if you want to. You still going to Nineveh. Talking about the divine call of God. There's some of you here tonight, you going to choose what you going to do. It may take God 50 years to finally run you down. But honey, whatever it is he's wanting you to do, you're going to do it. You might do it on your deathbed, but you're going to do it. How come? But God hath chosen. See, his choices tonight overrule all your little old choices. It's a divine call. But I know it's in the text. I'm talking about the basis of his choice. Not only does it involve a divine call, but it involves a deliberate choice. A deliberate choice. If you'll notice in verse 27, he uses that word chosen twice. He uses it again in verse 28. Chosen. That little word in the Greek is eklego. E-K-L-E-G-O. That word means to pick out. It means to select. It means to choose for oneself. It means to prefer one over another in a group. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Don't take it up with me. What the Bible says. Because I don't believe that. I tell you what, if you don't believe that, you better take a pen knife to this section. At some time or another, God has decided to pick a people, select a people, prefer some over others. I was thinking again not long ago about how many people God stepped over to get to me. You know, all the boys that I run around with, I tell you, they were much better boys than I am, much more moral boys than I was. See, my mom and dad's Christian, my mom and dad's missionaries, and I was a hellcat. Oh, God. All those boys I hung around with, as far as I know, I've checked on some of them here lately. And you know, every one of them's lost on their way to hell, some mainline and heroin. In the 50s, still shooting heroin. Oh, yeah. God come down my street, Hanbury Avenue in Portsmouth, Virginia, stepping over all of them. Coming to where I was. He said, I'd chosen you. You said, don't that puff you up? Oh, no, it makes me want to hide, say, holy, 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 Lord God, thou art holy. But God hath chosen. A deliberate choice. Wasn't me choosing him. Oh, no. Only reason I chose him is because he chose me long before I ever chose him. Oh, I'm talking about the basis of his choice. It is a deliberate choice. And I notice in this deliberate choice, it is based upon a couple of things. One is not many. Not many. You know, there's an erroneous idea today that there is just everybody saved. You ask anybody in this area, this is Bible Belt, if you say, when is the last time you met anybody and said, I tell you what, I am on my way to hell. I guarantee if I go through this crowd tonight and stand talk to every one of you, there ain't a one of you would say, hey, listen, I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, if I close my eyes right now, I'd wake up in hell. I guarantee you every one of you would find, I think I go to hell, not really that bad. Don't meet too many people. But the Bible clearly tells us there's not many going to heaven. Matter of fact, he said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there'll be on it. And he said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and just a few will find it. The basis of his choice now is not many. Watch the text. What kind of people does he choose, preacher? I notice in verse number 26, there's not many studious people. Any of you here tonight somewhat studious? You say, preacher, you know, I made good grades. Made good grades in school. I was an honor student. I tell you what, if so tonight and you're saved, you ought to stand up and shout tonight. Because the Scripture said God didn't pick too many of them. You say, preacher, can you prove that from the Bible? Oh, yeah, you read it for yourself. Look at verse 26. He said, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men. That little word wise is the book learning wisdom. That which you would gain from a book. I tell you what, if you're somewhat studious tonight, and you know beyond any shadow of a doubt you've been born from above. God hath chosen you. I tell you what, honey, you ought to raise your little old educated hands and shout tonight. Because God didn't pick too many of you. Wonder how come? Probably because you'd have to shrink your head and use you. You'd be always thinking you had some smarts more than God. God has chosen a few wise people. Talking about the basis of his choice now. It is a deliberate choice. He doesn't choose too many studious people. I notice in the text he doesn't choose too many self-sufficient people. Anybody in this building might be in pretty good shape. Say, preacher, I feel like I'm in pretty good shape. I've got a pretty good physique. My fat count ain't too much, I'm pretty lean, mean machine. You know, I checked my blood pressure not long ago. My blood pressure's good. My cholesterol's good. My sugar's good. I tell you, preacher, I'm in pretty good shape physically. I tell you what, if you're here and saved tonight, you're pretty good shape physically. I've always been in good shape physically. I tell you what, you ought to stand up and shout tonight. Because God said, I didn't choose many of you like that. But you prove that from the Bible? Oh, yeah. Didn't you see it? He says in verse number 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty. That little word mighty there is having power or physical strength. God said, I didn't come around and find some of those that were somewhat sufficient within themselves, self-sufficient people, studious people, people that could make it on their own. He said, I didn't pick too many of them. I tell you what, if you're in that lot tonight, you ought to shout. Because God just said he picked a few out of that group. Not only out of studious people, self-sufficient people, I notice here, society people. Any of you in here tonight pretty well off financially? I tell you, preacher, I've always had plenty.
I mean, you were born on the other side of the tracks. Huh? Some of you have come up in a family. You've been raised up in that family where you've had plenty. I tell you what, if you saved tonight, you ought to shout. Because God said, I didn't choose too many out of that group. Bishop, can you prove that from the Bible? Oh, yeah. Didn't you see it in verse 26? He said, for you see your calling, brethren, have that not many wise men out of the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. That little word noble there is well-born. Well-born. I tell you what, if you were born in a good family, that family had pretty good standing in the community financially, had plenty, and you say, honey, you ought to shout tonight. God said, I didn't reach into that group, pick too many. Matter of fact, years ago, Queen of England, Queen Mary, she was a saint, godly lady. John Knox was influential in leading her to Christ. She said the only thing that separated her from God and being saved was an M. A what? An M. She said God didn't say He didn't choose any noble. She said He just said He didn't choose many. She said, I got in on the M. Tell you what tonight, if you've been well born tonight, and you're a child of God, you ought to shout tonight. You know how you got in tonight? But God hath chosen tonight. Deliberate basis tonight. But I notice in this deliberate choice tonight, not only do we see the basis tonight of not many, but I see in this text there is the basis of a necessary mystery. What kind of people does God choose? You would not believe the kind of people that God's looking for. You've got the scripture there. Look at verse 27. He said, but God hath chosen the foolish things. God's looking for fools. You meet that category tonight? Preacher, what's that word foolish mean tonight? Ignorant? Stupid? Silly. It has the idea of air between your ears. That's the kind of people God's looking for. Foolish people. Honey, you looking at somebody that got in on that. Oh, yeah. Foolish people. How come he wants to choose foolish people? The Bible said, but God had chosen the foolish things of this world to confound. That little word confound means to humiliate, to embarrass, to cause, to blush. Who is he going to confound? He said he'd confound the wise. You remember he didn't choose too many wise people. The rest of that educated crowd got all kind of book learning. God wants to bring along a stupid, silly idiot tonight, got air between both of his ears, and humiliate those that have got all the book learning. I tell you what, I'd rather have a saint of God couldn't read his name in boxcar letters and had the Holy Ghost on him than I would the most educatedest person in the world. You listening to me tonight? Talking about the basis. It is a necessary mystery. God would choose the foolish. But I notice in the text, not only does he choose the foolish, but the Bible says he likes to choose weak things. It says in verse number 27, but God hath chosen the weak things of the world. That little word weak is an interesting word. It means inability to accomplish. Anemic. Sickly. The little word indicates whiny. You sort of whiny tonight. You're a prime candidate for God to use you. He loves to take weak. Well, what is he going to do with weak people? He said he'd like to take them and confound, embarrass, humiliate, cause to blush.
things which are mighty. That crowd tonight strutting around. They strong. Physically. I didn't know if you noted it or not. But old people aren't always wise people. And young people ain't always strong people. Oh, tonight God's choice is mysterious. Kind of people that God chooses. It says in verse number 28, He likes to choose base things. There's an interesting thought. No family or friends, the little word is orphaned. Orphaned. You ever been around somebody that's just introverted? I mean, you couldn't get close to them at all. You didn't have no family, no friends at all, just an outcast. I tell you what, God wants them on His team. That's the kind of people He chooses. Base things. He says, things which are despised hath God chosen. That little word despise, nothing, no fame, no fortune. And the little word despise is a zero with a rim rubbed out. That's the kind of people God wants on His team. That's the kind of people God wants to use. That's the kind of people He chooses. He says in our text, and hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Does it not stop us from wondering when we look at a group like this, really just a house full of weirdos? Ain't that the truth? I mean, really and truly. Man, if you started standing up and giving us your educational background and we started giving a mental test around here and trying to come at some kind of mental ability that you would have, gosh, as we come up, man, Ken's got a bunch of weirdos over there. That is the church. How come? But God hath chosen the kind of people He picks. Oh, I love the hound out of there, don't you? Hey, you see somebody out there, they got pink hair and got a green stripe down through it. Man, you ought to say, man, they liable to be His next choice. Huh? Man, you see them, they got everything pierced in the belly button too. You said there's a weirdo that God can use. Oh, I'm talking about the basis of His choice tonight. The binding of my choice. Could I mention in this text the bragging about His choice? When I look at the bragging of His choice, I'm interested in the possession of bragging rights. Who has got bragging rights? You know, in football sometime, college teams, you know, like Alabama or Georgia, you know, you talk about who's got bragging rights, who has had bragging rights for several years now. Bragging rights. Who has got bragging rights about our choice? Watch the text. He says in verse number 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. We can never brag about the choice. How come? Because we did not make the choice, but God had chosen. It would be foolish for you tonight to say, I accepted Jesus. How come you would even want to talk about that? The only reason you accepted Him is because He accepted you. It would be foolish tonight for you to say, I decided for Jesus. The only reason you decided for Jesus is because He decided about you. It would be foolish for you tonight to say, I called on Jesus. The only reason you called is because He called on you. It would be foolish for you tonight to stand up and give your testimony and talk about when you prayed to Jesus. The only reason you pray is because He put the prayer in your heart. Oh, you would be a fool tonight to stand up and say that I am going to follow Jesus. You're not going to do anything. The only reason you're following Jesus is because Jesus is following Jesus through you. But God hath chosen. I'm talking about possession, bragging rights. But I notice the position of bragging rights. The Bible says in verse number 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. You know the only reason you're in him tonight? But God hath chosen. Oh, the only reason I'm positionally in him tonight, enjoying all the possessions of eternity tonight, is because of God's choice. I'm talking about the bragging about his choice, the binding of my choice, the basis of his choice. Let me mention one last thing tonight, and I'm done. The beauty of his choice. The beauty of his choice. I notice in this text there is a reckoning of transfer because God made a choice. I have had some things transferred to my account. What have you had transferred to your account, preacher? Look at verse number 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Because of God's choice, God has taken his darling son Christ tonight, and he has placed Christ to my account. When God looks at me now, he does not see me anymore. He sees Christ. How Christ? But God hath chosen. Because I did anything. Because God did it all. The beauty of his choice is the reckoning of transfer. Christ has been placed to my account. But I see not only the reckoning of transfer here, but I see here the resemblance of transformation. Because Christ has been placed to my account, because God made a choice, he chose me. He is going to reproduce Christ in me and through me. Do you see any evidence in your life you're beginning to look like Jesus? Huh? Some of you have been saved for years and you don't look like Jesus at all. You don't act like Jesus. You don't talk like Jesus. You don't go where Jesus goes. And you're talking about you saved. If you're saved tonight, honey, he said that he placed Christ to your account because God made a choice. I wonder sometimes if you made a choice, that's because ain't nothing happening in your life. But God made a choice. He will begin to make you reproduce Christ in you. What will it be like, preacher? He says in verse number 30, I'm talking about the resemblance of transformation. He said, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom. God has placed to my account the wisdom of Christ. What good is that, preacher? He's going to transform my senses. He has given me the mind of Christ. I do not have to think with my silly mind anymore. And you know, I don't know about you. I'm sick and tired of playing eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Some of you are doing that now about getting married. You're playing eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Some of you are talking about a vocation, what you're going to take in college, and you play an eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I'm sick, I'm tired, I don't play. You got a 50-50 chance of being wrong. I tell you what I am interested in. But God hath chosen. You know 80% of Americans go to a job every day they don't like. How come? They made a choice. I'm glad I didn't make no choice. I love my job. I can't wait. But God hath chosen. He has given me the mind of Christ. You got the mind of Christ, you always make right choices. Oh, I love that, don't you? Not only says, has he given me wisdom, but he has given me righteousness. Made unto us righteousness. There has been a transformation in my standing. He has not only changed my mind, but he has changed my morals. I am not trying to be a Christian tonight. Christ is not something I produce. I do not produce the Christian life. I quit trying years ago. Christ reproduces Christ through me. Christ is the only Christian to ever live. Nobody's ever been a Christian since Christ. Christian life is not something you produce. something he reproduces through you. How come? But God hath chosen. Place Christ to your account. Not only is made unto me wisdom and righteousness, but our text says he's made unto us sanctification. He has transformed my state of being. He has changed my motives. The reason I do what I do is because Christ liveth in me. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. He's changed my motives. Well, I love the hound out of this. He said he's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That redemption tonight, there is a transformation in my soul. Not only has he changed my mind, he's changed my morals, he's changed my motives, but one day he's going to change my mansion. I'm going to have a new home. Preacher, how come you're going to heaven? Because something you did back in July 1968, God forbid. The reason why I'm going to heaven tonight is that God has chosen. Talk about being interrupted by his choice. I'm glad tonight to leave all my choices to him. You know he can override your stupid choices. I'm sure all of us stand up and testify tonight, stupid choices we made in life. Wish we'd have never made them. I tell you what, I don't care if they're 50 old choices. They're stupid. You bring them to God. He might could turn them around. Bring good out of them. Huh? Choices you need to make. Some of you need to make the choice tonight. Various and sundry directions you're going in. Let God make the choice. Choices I will make in the future. Some of you make choices about marriage and vocation, different pathways you're going to go down to. You better let my God choose. You got a 50-50 chance playing any money more. I was thinking again today about how powerful God is to overrule choices. The story I'm going to tell you in closing, that's a true story. I know you ain't going to believe it. Too far-fetched to believe. But I tell you, honey, it's true. It's true. It's true. The power of God to overrule choices. Years ago, there was a man in Chicago decided to commit suicide. It was his choice. He lived on the 9th story of an apartment building. He jumped out of the window on the 9th floor. On his way down past the 7th floor, somebody shot a gun out the window, hit him on his way down, and killed him in midair. He was caught on the 6th floor in the net of a window washer. Police was called to examine the crime. They did not know whether to rule it a suicide or a homicide. On further investigation, they found the bullet that come out of the 7th floor window was the apartment of his old 70-year-old mom and daddy. Whoa. Daddy killed him? His daddy and mama were bad to fight. They argued all the time. Daddy had a shotgun in the apartment. He's had that shotgun in there for years. It hadn't been loaded nor shot in years. It was known in the apartment building the shotgun had never been loaded. But he would always get it and chase her around the apartment and make her believe he was going to shoot her. This old boy was a drug addict. And his mom and dad had cut him off. No more money for you. He went down there and loaded daddy's shotgun.
figured they'd get in a fight after a while, and Daddy would shoot Mama. They'd put Daddy in jail, and he would get all the money. The Chicago police ruled it a suicide. He killed himself. Oh, I stand amazed tonight in how God can overrule our choices and make sure they come out just like He wants them to. How come? But God hath chosen.